Hey, I hope you're having a fabulous day. I'm Bethann Schwamberger, and you're listening to episode 44 of the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. Today, we're talking all about your email list, why you should build it, where on your site you should have your opt-in boxes, and what you should potentially offer to your email subscribers. All right, let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Okay, so first, before we dive into email list building, I just had to give a shout out to one of our listeners who left us a great review in iTunes. And I have to say, Sarah and I have not done a good job of giving you guys shout outs because you're amazing. And we've been getting the sweetest reviews in here. So we just have to share some of them with you. So today, this review is from Sarah at Nixie Knox Designs, which is actually an Etsy shop. And it's super cute. She sells some great organizational printables for whether you're a homeschooling mom or have chore charts, things like that. So they're really great. But anyway, Sarah says, great down-to-earth but professional business advice. She writes, I'm a mom entrepreneur who wasn't taking my Etsy shop super seriously. However, since I started listening to Brilliant Business Moms, I was able to improve the SEO on my Etsy shop listings and have increased revenue significantly. She put that in all caps, which I was like, yes, awesome. I've also been introduced to some great books and other podcasts and blogs via their podcast. I really enjoy it. Thank you so much for that, Sarah. I seriously was doing fist pumps when I read that implementing some of those SEO strategies is bringing you more sales, more customers, and then more sales. I love it. That's awesome. So keep up the great work and keep listening. We think you're amazing. Okay, so let's dig into email list building. What really got my attention in terms of list building was when one of my big online role models, I guess you could say, in terms of online business, Pat Flynn, he has said over and over that one of the biggest mistakes he made early on in building an online business was not collecting emails sooner, not starting his email list from the very beginning. So if Pat Flynn is telling us that he wished he had done something differently in online business, I think we should listen to him. I think that it probably matters. So I took note when he said that. And I will confess that with our Etsy shop and that first mom blog we had tried at backyardbrilliant.com, Sarah and I did not give enough weight to email addresses. We set up lists so people could opt in if they wanted to, but to be honest, we weren't providing anything compelling to make them want to give us their email address. You can't just say, hey, like, I want to give you some updates, so like, won't you give me your precious email so I can just, you know, send you my blog post every week? No, that's not going to cut it. You need to do something really special, which we're going to dig into that in a minute. But anyways, all that to say, we didn't give it enough weight. And now with Brilliant Business Moms, we're making a big push for this. And I'm so excited about it. I think it's going to be great. And I will say too, one of the things that I think really held us back for a long time, and maybe this is holding you back as well, is we weren't sure what to put in our email newsletter. We knew if we started a list that you should talk to them pretty often, like once a month bare minimum, but really more like once a week. And so that seemed like a really intimidating task to us with our other websites. It was like, okay, what are we gonna say every week about our Etsy shop? Or what are we gonna say about getting outdoors with your kids? And to be honest, I'm sure we could come up with stuff, but when we started this new endeavor of Brilliant Business Moms and then recently 52 Weeks to a Better Business, we knew exactly what we were going to include in that email every week. So email then became vitally important. It became a way where we could unite all of you together and we can all be working on a singular business goal every week together. So at that point, I was like, yeah, email is super important. We've got to get this going. But here's the thing, I would encourage all of you, before you even know what you're going to put in that first big email newsletter, just find a way to get those emails. Sign up for an email program, an email service provider. For us, that's MailChimp. I know some other smaller businesses especially like mom bloggers. I've heard them mention Mad Mimi, so that's another one. Those are both pretty, they're free to get started with and easy, they're easy to use for the most part. So we recommend those. And then I know much bigger businesses often will use Aweber or Infusionsoft, but those cost a bit more. So I would start out with something else and you can always migrate your list over. Okay, so maybe you're sitting there kind of rolling your eyes, nodding along like, yeah, yeah, everyone talks about the email list. The money's in the list. You got to have a list. This is how you build your customer base, but I don't know what to do with it. And why can't I just use Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest? I have grown an active following on those social media sites. People are engaging there. I can tell them about new products, new services, whatever's going on. I can tell them there. So why in the world do I need this email list? Well, here are some stats that I was able to find that I have to say totally convinced me that email is the way to go. I mean, keep up with the other social media methods as well, but email is so valuable. For 2014, there was a survey done that said 91% of consumers check their email at least once a day, which if you're like me, you probably check it 10 times a day. Gosh, I hope I don't check it more than that. I really need to limit myself there. But you know, most of us are on email every day versus a Facebook, a Twitter, a Pinterest. You might not be on those every single day. I was looking up for MailChimp open rates on emails, and depending on the industry, and I'll link to this, it's a really cool little chart, but the open rate for emails tended to be about 18 to 30%. Of the people you send it to will open it. And when you actually compare that to the stats of how many of your Twitter followers actually see your tweet, well, the best stat is that about 5%, only 5% of your Twitter followers are seeing your tweets versus you could get 30% of your email subscribers who are opening up your email. And actually, that's just an industry average. You could get way higher open rates. I know for us being tiny, just starting out, but having a pretty loyal following here, for our first email that we sent out, for 52 weeks to a better business with that first challenge, we had a 66% open rate. So we were pretty excited about that. And that was including some people who had signed up to get emails from us from a couple of months ago. So shame on us for not sending them awesome stuff before this point. But still, so we were really happy with this 66% open rate. And I think you could have some similar results as well. So compared to those Twitter followers, we're only 5% are seeing what you're posting. And then Facebook has put out a stat that for businesses on Facebook, only about 6% of their fans are seeing the post in their newsfeed, the post updates. I know for awesome mom bloggers who do a great job with engagement and posting often on Facebook, you can see way higher rates than that. I know for us, we've definitely had posts where we get at least 25% of our fans seeing those posts. And you know, there's people on Facebook who are getting 50% of their fans to see their posts because they just do that awesome of a job at it. But the average is only 6%. So again, a better bet is potentially that email. The other thing is email is more personal. It's more relational. I mean, think about who you send emails to. You know, a lot of times it's your close friends and family. You're sending updates. I know for me, I send bazillions of emails to Sarah all the time with new business ideas and plans and what's going on. And the other thing too is that in an email inbox, people are more ready to get offers for a certain product, a service, and buy from that email versus when they're on Twitter or they're on Facebook, they're not as primed and ready to buy. Now, Pinterest is a different story. Actually, Pinterest users tend to be pretty primed and ready to buy and make bigger purchases from that Pinterest, from their Pinterest account versus other social media. But as a general rule, email is a great way to send people offers and updates on your products. But the other thing is too, don't just use your email to send them deals, coupons, new products, new launches. I think that you really need to use email to just get to know your audience on a more personal level, you know, solicit responses from them or create something that just really connects them to you and makes them want to come back to your site every week. Okay, so one more thing on the importance of email is Derek Halpern actually did a test to show how important email is and how easy it really is to get subscribers. Because I think we all tend to think like, okay, I might be able to get Facebook likes, or I might be able to get Twitter followers, Pinterest followers, but like, how am I going to get people to give me their email? That's so hard. No one's going to do it. But Derek Halpern actually did this test where he sent 1,000 people to his email opt-in page and another 1,000 people to his Twitter profile page. He ended up with 500 email subscribers. Now, granted, I'm sure his opt-in page was awesome. I'm sure he gave them something really great, but I'm going to show you, give you some ideas for how you can do the same thing. And apparently, so he ended up with 500 email subscribers and way less than 500 Twitter followers. So that just shows that getting email subscribers isn't as hard as you think. And an email subscriber is worth way more than a Twitter follower. So there's that. And then speaking of email and why it's so important, there are two other podcast episodes that I'm going to link to that I think are just amazing resources in terms of getting your email marketing going and figuring out what works and what doesn't. And I've actually referenced these a lot as Sarah and I have gotten started with 52 Weeks to a Better Business and really getting serious about growing our list. So those two episodes are Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income podcast, episode 78 on rapid list building, where he brings in Clay Collins of Lead Pages. Oh my goodness, just so good in terms of figuring out what your killer offer should be. And then the other great episode is The Nathan Barry Show. He has an episode on email marketing. It's actually episode 2 of his podcast. And he brings on 3 guests who've built up really big email lists and gets their feedback on what works, what doesn't, all of that good stuff. So those are 2 podcast episodes I'll link to in our show notes. So for the show notes, you just head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/44. And I'll have links to all of these resources and the stats and the different studies I've been talking about here. So no worries. Okay, so I've convinced you, hopefully, that you need to go get on MailChimp or some email service provider, get your list set up, and then have a place where people can opt in and give you their email. Here are 4 places where you really need to make sure you have that email opt-in box. 1, your homepage on your website. So for some of you, I know that means your Etsy shop, but you can put it right in the header of your Etsy shop. Like if you click on the header, it'll say like, see more. And then you can have a link in there that's like for emails, for updates, for special deals to be part of our super duper club where we're going to give you insider tips and tricks on XYZ. You can put a link then that goes to an email sign up page. So that would be for you. That's your homepage. Just that front page of your Etsy shop. For everyone else, whether it's, you know, blog, website, having it on that homepage is so important. The best place to put it, and which Sarah and I currently do not have it here because we are not coding geniuses and we need to find someone who can help us do this at an affordable price, but you really want to have it somewhere in the header space. So above the fold, really close to the top of your page, have that opt-in box and go ahead and say right there what you're offering in return and compel your visitors to subscribe. But if you can't do that, if you are still working on getting that sort of extra special formatting figured out on your website, which is kind of the boat Sarah and I are in, at least make sure you have that email opt-in box in your sidebar. So that's a bare minimum. And again, make sure that on that sidebar, you're explaining the benefits for people when they sign up. The second place you really need to have your email opt-in box is your About Me page. This is one of the most viewed pages on anyone's site. And the main point of that page shouldn't just be to share information about yourself, but to really share with people the benefits that they'll get from visiting your site. So you're sharing the benefits, you're sharing what they'll get from visiting, so why not start or end that About Me page with another great benefit, the benefit they'll get from signing up from your email or a great freebie that they're going to get. So it's a perfect place to put your subscribe box. And on that note, shame, shame, Sarah and I are still working on our About Me page. This is terrible. We need to make this one of our 52 Weeks to a Better Business challenges so that we'll actually get it done and have you guys holding us accountable. Okay, number three, third spot where you need to have that email opt-in box is a designated landing page just for your email opt-in. So the point of this being, on this page, you will eliminate the other distractions on your website and just describe the benefits of signing up, what's going to happen, what they're going to get. Yes. And the other important part of having a designated landing page, which I'll say for Sarah and I, okay, so ours right now is our 52 weeks to a better business page, which is brilliantbusinessmoms.com/52weeks. And you can find that. So on that page, we've got like a cute graphic for the program. We talk all about why you'd want to sign up and be a part of it, what's going to happen, that you're going to get an email every Sunday night with the new challenge for the week. But I will say that what we really need to do is ours is essentially just like a page on our blog. So it's a static page, but you still have the blog header there. You still have the sidebar there. What we really need to do is have a clean, crisp landing page that eliminates all of that and just is the email opt-in box with the benefits and what it's all about right there. So again, this is something where if we could afford lead pages at the moment, we would totally have this done, but we are bootstrapping it right now, as I'm sure many of you are. So, you know, just do the best you can. If it just looks like a static page on your blog, that is still a great place to start. The other reason why having that designated landing page is so important is because then if you have a really great graphic there, then you can share that graphic on Facebook, and better yet, you can share it on Pinterest. You can pin it and like have a little graphic where you kind of say like, here's what our email opt-in gets you. Here's why it's so great. And I've heard of other people doing this as well. We've done this with 52 Weeks to Better Business, and some people have already repinned it, which is super cool. So hopefully the word will spread about this program that we're offering. But, you know, whether it's a program or whether your freebie is an ebook or just a chapter of your ebook, you can create a cute little graphic right there that's Pinterest friendly, meaning it's longer than it is wide. It'll show up better in the feed. And that can really compel people to say, what's this about? I would love a free ebook on knitting. So they're going to pop over and give you their email, even if they're a first-time visitor to your site. It's, you know, that could be enough to compel them to give you their email address. And then four, you really need to have that opt-in box at the end of every post. Because if someone has actually taken the time to read your entire blog post, then they're an engaged reader. They're interested in what you have to offer. And so at the end of that is a great way to say, hey, if you loved this, grab this freebie, stay in touch, you know, whatever. And actually, I am going to create a tutorial video for you guys to show you. There's this really great plugin that allows you to easily put your email opt-in box at the end of every post. So it's seriously so easy to do. I couldn't believe it. So I will link to that tutorial video in the show notes when I have it up, and you'll be all set to go. Okay, so another idea in terms of having an email opt-in at the end of every post, which Clay Collins of Lead Pages is a huge advocate of this, and I totally agree with him. The problem with me right now is with having MailChimp and not having Lead Pages, it's really hard to offer something totally different at the end of every post, because then I think what I would end up with is like 20 different email lists, and then I would need to like manually merge them together into one if I then wanted all of them to get, you know, to be part of 52 Weeks to a Better Business. But his great idea is that if you can cater that opt-in offer at the end of your post to content that's directly related to what you just wrote about, that is killer. You are going to get so many more email subscribers that way. So for example, one of our podcast episodes, we interviewed Ariel Holcomb, who is a self-taught photographer, and she shared some really great tips for even the newest of photographers, even those of us who are just bloggers or Etsy shop owners, and we just want to improve our photography. So she shared some awesome tips on that. So if someone has read through and they're thinking, yeah, that was great, I want more. Well, an email opt-in that would work would be, before you shoot, a 10-step checklist to make sure you get amazing photos every time. Grab yours here. So I'm offering something that is directly related to what they just read about, and everyone's going, yes, yes, I want this. I want more information on how to improve my photos. So again, there are so many ways you can go with this. And I'm going to talk more about some of those opt-in offers and ideas for what to do there in a minute. But again, I'm still trying to figure out how to potentially do this using just MailChimp and some free plugins without having to pay for lead pages. So I will let you know how that goes and share our progress as we learn about that. Okay, so let's jump in real quick here. Hopefully real quick. Am I real quick about anything? I don't think so. I'm really sorry. On that note, I love your guys' feedback. Do I talk forever? Are my episodes too long? I would seriously love to hear from you. Okay, so I will try to make this quick. Let's talk about five ideas for creating that killer email opt-in that's really going to convert well, that people are just going to be compelled to give you their email address. They're going to go, I have to do this. Totally. Clay Collins of Lead Pages says that from all the data that they have in their system on the millions of lead pages that all of the companies that use their service have created, that the lead pages that convert the best are actually resource lists, resource guides. So the best converting lead page doesn't necessarily have to be the biggest thing, like the thing that would be worth the most money or be the highest value, like, for example, a video course or an ebook, like a big ebook. You don't have to give away something that big. Because here's the thing with a video course or an ebook, every one of us has limited time, right? I mean, I suppose we all have the same amount of time, but you know, it always feels like we don't have enough. We all feel busy. There's a lot going on. So looking at a video course, we might be like, okay, sounds good, but I do not have time for this. So no thanks. I'm not going to opt in. Same thing for a free ebook. But what people are always really interested in is shortcuts. How can they do what they're doing faster? How can they find that tool or that app that the experts and the pros are already using and use that too so that they can get better at running their business? So one example is Corbett Barr from Fizzle.co has a toolbox of resources. And so he will periodically add more items to it to keep people interested. And when he adds more items, this is also genius, he does a blog post about, hey, here are the new things I added to the toolbox. Grab your copy here. So the thing is that this doesn't just apply to a business blog. If you're a photographer with a photography website or blog, you could share all the tools, accessories, or programs, photo props that you use to get the best photos. I mean, there's so much that you could do here. If your blog is more about DIY projects, you could share your best tools and steps for refinishing furniture, perhaps. So there are just a ton of possibilities here. Just make a great resource page with, you know, some great tools on it. And it really doesn't even have to be long. It could be top five tools. You know, one example that I've thought about for us is the top five online tools that mom entrepreneurs are using. So we could create something like that. And to be honest, I really want to do this and kind of see how does creating that list of tools, list of resources essentially, compare to our 52 Weeks to a Better Business program. So, you know, kind of figuring out, do people just really want those tools and those shortcuts? Or are people really interested in this kind of this community that we're forming that's helping each other, encouraging each other, you know, challenging each other to grow? So I'm really curious to see the results, and I'm hoping to get that separate list going soon. And here's the other thing too, in terms of that email opt-in, you might feel like, okay, I'm a DIY blogger, but I've already blogged all about refinishing furniture. I have 10 posts on that. So why is anyone going to give me their email address to get that same information that's already on my blog? But the thing is, if you can repackage that content in a way that is super user friendly, it's quick, concise, it's to the point, and it saves them loads of time of searching all over your blog, people are still going to opt in. Making something more user friendly is always a great way to go. Second idea would be guest post on a blog that has fairly large traffic numbers, and then along with that, create a great related blog post that's on a similar topic and create an opt-in either right on your homepage, but also on that extra blog post on your site that you've created that relates specifically to that topic. So Abby did this for Just a Girl on her blog. She had guest posted on Money Saving Mom about her home binder to help you keep things organized at home, all the different tasks and things you have going on. And then on her blog, she had an email opt-in that was a free tutorial on creating your own labels in Word. So, you know, this is something that was free for people to do, which is great, especially for readers coming over from Money Saving Mom. And she had just been talking about home organization. So these are people who are now convinced, like, oh, I need to have my home binder. I need to be organized. So they head over and see, oh, okay, cool. Abby's going to show me exactly how to do this, how to create my own little labels and stay organized. So I can't remember the exact numbers, but I remember that the month that Abby did this, where she guest posted on Money Saving Mom and then added that freebie, it was like an astronomical level of extra emails she had gotten. I want to say several thousand extra emails that she got from this, after having a list that maybe before that point was at sitting at 500 or something along those lines. It was insane. You can actually check out episode 2 of our podcast where she talks about that. Idea number 3 for a great opt-in offer would be if you're gearing up for a product launch, such as you're selling a new book, or, you know, Jocelyn from episode 43 was selling her lesson plans, her library lesson plans, you can give away part of your product for free as an opt-in. So this is great for a few reasons. It helps you gauge interest in that topic. You know, if lots of people are signing up to get a preview of your new ebook, then you know there's a lot of interest there. And same thing for Jocelyn. She said that, you know, when she gave that email offer, she actually hadn't even created the second month of her lesson plans yet, because initially she just wanted to see, are people interested? Is there a customer base here? And then if people are interested and I'm getting great feedback, then I'll create that second month and have them pay for it and become customers. And this strategy can just, it can work really well. Idea number 4 is to do a checklist, like I just talked about, you know, before you shoot, the 10 settings to check on your camera to make sure you get great photos. There are so many ideas here. It could be an organizational checklist as a mom to, I don't know, keep track of school projects and other things going on at home. It could be a checklist related to a DIY project. It could be a checklist for a blogger for things that you need to make sure you're doing every single day. So there are tons of options here. But again, this kind of goes back to that resource list where it's just, it's a really quick, easy, concise freebie for people. And so they're going to be really compelled to opt in. And then the 5th idea would be a comparison chart of some sort, comparison chart that people can opt in to get the scoop on everything. If you are going to make that purchase months into the future, having that comparison chart that's just so quick and easy that you can refer back to is a great way to go. And you might want to grab that resource, download it, and have it ready to go for when you're ready to make that purchase. Let's say you have a painting blog, and so you're going to compare different brands of paint even, which if you actually head to the art supply section of a crafty type of store or an art store in general, you'll realize there are a bazillion different brands of paint out there that all are claiming to give you something different, give you a different effect. So that would be a great resource if your blog was all about art and painting. So again, there are tons of different options here. Those are the 5 things that I think will make a great email opt-in that, you know, to be honest, these are quick and easy for you to create, and they actually can be way more compelling than if you had spent hours and hours and hours creating that video course or creating that ebook. So don't think huge. Don't think it has to be huge. Just make something that's super helpful, super user-friendly. Make sure you explain those benefits in your opt-in. You explain what they're getting and why it's going to be awesome. And that's it. So I hope this episode was really helpful to you guys. Stay tuned with 52 Weeks to a Better Business, because we are going to be tackling some email challenges coming up here. So we'd love for you guys to be a part of that. And that's all I've got for you today. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And as always, don't just listen. We really want you to act on this. So now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.